AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Eric here today. Hey, Eric, how are you, my friend?
Doing good.
Sorry, I missed you for a few days. I've been in South Carolina here. Oh, wow, yeah, 3 to 5 inches now. They've upgraded it to 3 to 5 inches tonight. So that's what we're looking at, huh? That's not good. Saturday, 1 to 3 inches on Saturday, 3 to 5 inches on Saturday night. So basically 3 to 5 inches tonight, and then, let's see, 4 to 8 inches on Saturday. So it should make for fun shoveling. Although after that, it does look like the temperature starts warming up. We get back into the high 30s, and that should start melting a lot of this stuff off. So especially with the, if we get some sunny days out there, that sun is really starting to cut through it. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. At some point randomly today, if you do call in and participate in the show, I will select one caller randomly to win a pair of tickets to the Blue State Ball, the general admission tickets. That is coming up here on March 10th at the Blaisdell. So when we get into the topics a little bit later on, I'm going to randomly pick a caller. If you are available on March 10th, guess what? You get to go to the Blue State Ball. So listen for your chance to win general admission tickets. If you do not want to mess with trying to call in, because myself and Mike McIntyre will be giving away tickets, you can also as well just go to am950radio.com, get the VIP tickets, get the regular tickets, and see us there as well as a lot of other dignitaries at the Blue State Ball coming up here on March 10th. I was in South Carolina for a few days here. That's why I've been gone. Food, by the way, unbelievable. Just, God. I can't live in the South because there is that undeniable racism that just exists there. It just does. They don't even realize it. When they'll say things and they don't even realize, you know, what they're saying is actually quite racist. They just, and it's not an excuse. It's just, that's the culture. And they get very upset if you point that out. It's like, don't you come down here and point out the fact that I'm a racist. They, you know, they don't like that. But I will say there are some absolutely magnificent elements of the South. The culture down there is magnificent, not just the Southern plantation culture, the South culture or anything like that. The African-American culture down there is outstanding. I love when you get into areas where it all is merged together, and the low country of South Carolina is one of those areas where it indeed has. It does. And where you're at in Beaufort, if you go to Beaufort, South Carolina, you're not in Hilton Head, where there are a lot of these really high-end areas where the tourists go, and Hilton Head is one of them. That's right off of Savannah. Beaufort is not, and so you have this wonderful culture. Not only do you have the African-American culture, do you have the white Southern culture that at times, when it's not racist, is actually, you know, somewhat delightful. You have the Spanish culture. The Spanish Americans founded their first capital there. They, matter of fact, they found it out on Paris Island, the military installation, which is an island you can see from Beaufort. They found it on the golf course. They found the original Spanish fort for the first Spanish settlement in the first Spanish capital in the United States. It's out there. They're doing an excavation on it right now. You have the French, obviously, very big in that area as well. The Native Americans, their legacy is still visible, although thanks to Jackson and the Trail of Tears, very few of the Native Americans still exist on the eastern side of the Mississippi River. You have the Civil War culture that is, you know, once again, they try to paint it out, and I'll get to that in a second. They try to paint it out as positive. It's not. It's from their perspective, but it is interesting culture, Revolutionary War culture. A great story of the flag of South Carolina. A lot of people recognize it as the palm tree and this crescent, and they think it's the moon. It's not a moon. That was actually drawn up. The blue of the flag plus the crescent. It's actually a shield that swordsmen used to wear on their neck to prevent from getting decapitated. And it was worn by the guy who beat 9 British warships on the South Carolina coast that were trying to invade during the Revolutionary War. And so when he had succeeded and he defended the Charleston Harbor, he drew up a flag, which that crescent is actually the neck piece of that the protector that they used to wear back then, and of course the tree, and then the blue of their uniform. So the flag of South Carolina reflects back to their fighting of the British in the Revolutionary War. So a lot of great culture down there. When I was there, we went to Charleston. We went out to Fort Sumter, and of course Fort Sumter is where the Civil War officially began, but I mean, you can go back to numerous other cases, Harper's Ferry and other instances, the Kansas-Nebraska Act and stuff like that, that really were the Dred Scott case that were really instigators as well. But Sumter was where the battles began, but even they acknowledged there was a few months earlier, there was actually Southern and troops that had fired on another Northern ship that no one even knows about. It was coming in to restock this one port to add some troops in the South Carolina coastline. And the Confederates fired on it, If they sank it, it would have been sank the ship. That would have declared the war right there. But that it didn't. They just kind of went away. But that actually happened. But Fort Sumter is the one where Northern troops, realizing they couldn't defend the position they were in, evacuated to Fort Sumter because they could defend that. The South was livid because they couldn't really knock them out of there. What drove the attack on Fort Sumter was a ship coming on down from Washington, D.C. to restock Fort Sumter, which terrified the Charleston people. They said, if they can't get those people out of there right away, we're not going to get them out of there. So they basically opened fire on Fort Sumter. They did not have enough troops there. They did not have enough supplies there. Within 24 hours, they had surrendered the fort and they had left. But of course, like every time you go into a Civil War memorial area in the South, one of the things that you come across is this attempt to tone down the Confederates. You attack the United States, you're the South, you attack the United States of America, we beat you, end of story. But the South never surrendered Fort Sumter. They just ran for their lives when Sherman's troops came through and cut them off from everyone else. Seriously, they said, we didn't surrender Fort Sumter. But when Sherman got to Charleston and cut off their land stocking there, yeah, they ran for their lives. Like, that is something. Well, first of all, you surrendered the fort. You ran away from the fort. You surrendered it. But retreating as you scream, away from Sherman is not some brave stand by the South Carolinians. No, you ran in terror because you knew you had lost. They have the flag there, by the way, the original flag with Minnesota Star on it. It's really cool. It's a diamond shape on its side, and then it's got four other additional stars on the side that represent the 33 states at the time? And so really kind of cool. They have that flag that was flying, and they re-put it back up there once the North retook the fort. And of course they can't leave well enough alone. So of course the North, they bring back the captain that had to vacate the fort at the beginning of the Civil War. They bring him back. He's still alive. He survives the Civil War. Bring him back. They're going to raise the U.S. flag on the thing. He raised the flag, and Fort Sumter was America's once again. That night Lincoln was shot. You know, it's like, okay, come on. All right. I get it. You're trying to make yourself feel better, guys. I did find out this little historic fact. There's a church in downtown Charleston where John C. Calhoun is buried. Note to yourself, you cannot relieve yourself on the grave of John C. Calhoun. Just an FYI, Matt's travel tip of the day. Just FYI. Horrific racist. What one of the worst human beings we ever pulled out of this country. And seriously, that is, John C. Calhoun is one of the worst human beings. There was no doubt you had to rename Lake Calhoun. You had to rename that one. Seriously, that just an FYI, can't do that. If you try, you're gonna draw an attention from crowd. Okay, it's tempting. It is tempting. Oh my, I was like, kids, pass me that water bottle. I need to stock on up before I head on over to John C. Calhoun's grave. But you can't do that. Food down there is phenomenal. Oh my God. I had an oyster po' boy because oysters grow like weeds in the water off South Carolina. They're just fantastic. Had shrimp and grits, which you should have, even if you're not a fan. Have you ever had shrimp and grits? Like good shrimp and grits?
Yeah, I've had them.
Okay. It's solid. If they've done it right, they got the cheese in there. It's delicious. And the shrimp is phenomenal. Fried pork chops, which were like butter. Oh man. I would be, well, I'm already a fairly large man, but I'd be a really, really large man if I was in South Carolina. So there's a trip. I will say yesterday's topic where I talked about Delta a little bit, I did have numerous people get in touch with me afterwards who said they had similar experiences. And like Natalie, the caller we had yesterday, we ended up having, there was one another person who called up and said, yeah, they fell for the kind of the blackmail from Delta, upgraded their ticket, and they still were treated like crud. And I'm like, yeah, there you go. I mean, it's, you know, you would think that they would, that would, extra money would garner some extra service, but apparently it doesn't. You know, modern corporations, not all of them, but some of them, the modern corporations, the customer is their enemy. It's all about trying to get executives as much money as possible, and they don't care about the customer. And that's just, it was just a sad reminder of that reality on that whole situation. 952-946-6205. One final thing before we get into the first break. The Olympics last night, the United States women. Did you catch that, Eric? Did you watch any of that game last night? The
U.S. No, I didn't. I missed it.
It was a late start. What, 10 o'clock start time? And went to shootouts afterwards. And on the sixth shootout, when they got to the fifth, I was like, oh, God, they... I just said, if Canada misses this shot, they're not going to miss. The U.S. is not going to miss. And the Canadians missed, and we hit. And so we win. That was a brilliant win. True emotion. The Canadians, one Canadian kind of ripped off her silver medal immediately in disgust because, and it's an interesting argument because the Canadians are arguing the silver medal, the bronze medal and the gold medal in the Olympics, you win. The silver medal you get is handed to you because you lost, and that they didn't like that. And so she ripped it off. I'm sorry, Canada, shut up. For this reason. I remember the last few Winter Olympics, and you'd win, and like, you Americans have to sit there and respect Canada. We're the best. No, you got beat. It was a great game. It was a great game. It was. I don't care if you are a Canadian fan or a U.S. fan. That was a phenomenal game. The goaltending on both sides was amazing. That... You can walk away from that and be there, but this double standard you have when you lose, it's, well, you can't blame them for being disrespectful because they're frustrated. But when the United States does it, you had better stand at attention for Canada. Please. Canadians are also in outrage right now because the men's curling team in the semifinals, the U.S. men knocked off Canada again. Another horrible rock. Okay, I'm going to let you know my curling knowledge here. Another horrible rock by the Canadians that just failed to go where he went. Didn't even get close. Second time we played the Canadians where they had a rock which just was a choke job by the Canadians, gave us 2 points, and we had the final rock. It was set up for us to win. And we did. So we play for the gold. The Canadians can, at best, can get bronze. Apparently, they're in tears up in Canada about that as well. Sorry. That's not on you. That was on your guy had us dead to rights, and he missed. He missed. That's not on us. That's on you. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do come back, well, let's talk guns, shall we? We got a lot to get to here in this country right now, and I'll be looking to talk to you about it as well. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible, for many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetime. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. AM 950 listeners know I've been a big supporter of the station. I'm also a job creator. I've assembled a team of the highest quality technicians to ensure our reputation continues to grow. After all, a job creator is simply someone who responds to customer demand. That demand has remained strong at PJW because we deliver quality the first time around. See why it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Perol, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. The furniture business is one of those industries that's full of fake sales and false discounts. This is the age of the hashtag illegitimate fake president, and haven't you been lied to enough? That's why you need to check out Habitation Furnishing and Design. Habitation offers some of the coolest furniture in Minneapolis at fair prices every day. No fake sales, no phony discounts, just honest, intriguing, and really unique furniture. Check out Habitation on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park or visit HabitationDesign.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I guess that's my point, is that I've kind of lost track of this a little bit earlier, but I love the South. There are some great things about it. The weather down there is delightful. The flowers blooming, Spanish moss, gators, dolphins. It's nice. I don't think I could live in the South just because, you know, the racism is just, it's too hard to take. And I know a lot of people that will say, I prefer the South because at least they're straightforward with you. I'm not saying you shy, you know, I don't think people up here do anyone a disservice by basically keeping their racism at home. But at the same time, I would much rather, you know, at least, you know, when it's right in your face and you want to look at it like, what did you just say? Come on. And by the way, I don't think it's the racism is in your face up here too. I don't think it's not necessarily as nearly as hidden as people like to say. If not for that, I'd be down there in a heartbeat. Fat. Oh, I'd be fat. Oh my God. Everything would be dribbling with gravy and butter beans. Oh boy. 952-946-6205. Well, the idiots are back out again because let's just be straightforward. The NRA is scared because where they are having to go now to defend their guns everywhere mantra. They have to attack kids who came a week ago from a school that was shattered by gun violence, where their classmates were killed, and they have to attack them, they have to attack their parents, and they have to attack the teachers that are encouraging them. This is where they are at. It's almost as if people, after, 5,000 times of the NRA screaming, now is not the time to talk about this, we finally say, no, now is the time to talk about it. Fine. You're a bunch of actors and you're fake and you want their friends dead and your guns are the greatest thing ever. And this response from the right and the NRA is the worst thing I have seen in a long time. It is disgusting. It is just disgusting. You really are seeing how betrothed to the NRA the Republican Party has become. I had someone post up there all their arguments are going by the wayside. How about the argument? Oh, the argument that Matt, pipes kill people. People use a pipe to kill someone. Knives kill people too. How about that? Or Jim Jones used Kool-Aid to kill all those people in the Jonestown massacre. That one I really, wait a minute here. Didn't Jim Jones actually meet that congressman at the airstrip and shoot and kill him plus 4 others? And then because he shot the congressman and knew the gig was up, went back and then poisoned everyone?
Yeah, I think there was a little something extra in that Kool-Aid.
Yeah, there was gun violence in that too. Yeah, but okay, fine. Your argument is other things are dangerous? Fine. Let's save the U.S. Treasury trillions of dollars. We'll take all the guns away from our armed forces and give each one of them packs of Kool-Aid. problem solved. Mission accomplished. If they're just as dangerous, if the Kool-Aid is just as dangerous as the gun, why do we have guns? They're cost a ton. Each one of those guns is a ton. We can just go to the store and get those 75-cent packs of Kool-Aid. And every soldier has got tons of packs of Kool-Aid. And when the enemy comes over, they can make them a drink and say, hey, drink this. See? See? That's how you solve the problem of it all. So this entire argument, other things are dangerous, henceforth, we can't regulate guns, is just ludicrous because guns allow crazy people to kill people at a rate which is insane. Is insane. As we saw once again in Florida. The guns don't kill people argument, people kill people argument. You get that one as well. When you do a database, you know, you're not doing a database of guns, right? When you're doing a background check on someone, you're not doing a background check on the gun. You're doing the background check on the person. When you have a mental health evaluation before you can own a gun, we're not looking at the mental health of the gun. We're looking at the mental health of the individual. I think we understand that the guns are a vehicle to distribute carnage. The rules we want to put into place are for the individuals who shoot guns. Background checks, databases, mental health screening. Those are for the people holding the gun, not the guns. You do understand all that, right? So like I said, their arguments are falling by the wayside. Their latest, and this is their new thing, it's, you know who the real enemy is? It's the teachers. Because the teachers are not armed like Rambo when they go in to teach calculus. When they're going in to teach advanced Spanish, they're not armed to the gills. I'll get to that in a second. But let's get to Martin in Minneapolis. Martin wanted to chime in on this. Welcome in, Martin.
Hey, this is Mark, actually, M-A-R-K. Anyway,
hey, Mark.
My wife came up with the best argument back and forth because they'll come at you with, well, cars kill more people than guns do ever and all this and that. The big difference between cars, airplanes, and that kind of thing, those happen by accident. A gun shooting another person, it's usually not done by accident 90% of the time. It's usually on purpose, and it's usually with intent.
And Mark, Mark, really quick, if I could really quick, I mean, I'm not going to let you go here. I want you to stick around. But really quick, when they throw the gun argument out or the car argument out to you, tell them this, because this will shut them up really quick. Oh, dear God, if we are willing to regulate guns like we regulate cars, where you have to go through driver's training or gun training on an extreme level, that you have to have insurance, that you have proof of insurance wherever you have it, that you can't use it when you've been drinking, that, oh, my God, if we would regulate guns like cars, I would be all for it, and I guarantee you that we would have far fewer gun deaths in this country if we did that indeed.
Exactly, and the other thing, too, is anytime you want to buy a gun, what's the problem with going and showing that you have a modicum of sense of what you're doing with that gun, meaning a gun safety course, showing that you can shoot the gun. You know how to shoot it. You know what it's for. Gun safety is not something that should just be gone through once. It should go through a number of times to prove that you actually know what you're doing. Because that thing can take a life in a real quick hurry. Thanks so much, Matt. I appreciate it very, very much.
Mark, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Mike is in Columbia Heights. I'll take him really quick before we get in the break. Welcome in, Mike.
Hi, Matt. You know, I put this thing on the shoulders of the five conservative Supreme Court judges because they passed the Citizens United law, and they're the ones who said that donations or contributions to campaigns are anonymous and they're free speech. Nobody has to know who's given the money. All the money that the NRA has been pumping into our political system is which is the root of the problem, because we can't get any legislation because the NRA has bought every legislator on the right hand, on the conservative side. So I put it all on the shoulders of the Supreme Court.
Well, and Mike, I'm going to step in here, and thanks very much for the phone call. Here's what I'll add to what you just said. The NRA got $30 million from the Russians. They then made a $30 million donation to Trump. Now, they say we have all the paperwork that shows that we didn't funnel the money directly from the Russians to Trump. But clearly the Russians, they laundered their money to Trump through the NRA. I mean, it sure does clearly seem like that is what exactly did happen. And that is the reason that can happen is because of Citizens United and this unlimited flow of money into these campaigns. As long as the campaign, the entity can say, well, that money we put towards our secretaries and our pencils and paper and our auto pool. And so that didn't go there. The reality is it freed up $30 million so that $30 million could go to Trump. And so, and once again, that's one of the things that people that's not been talked about a lot. It's now starting to get a lot of traction because there are people who are like, wow, that's a heck of a lot of money. And wow, didn't the NRA get a donation from the Russians for $30 million? Yeah. How did that work? It is, the NRA is, in my personal opinion, the NRA is a terrorist organization. And when you look at their latest tactics and how they're basically, what was the shakedown I saw up on social media of the letter they sent to the guy in Wisconsin that said, you had better, the Supreme Court judge, the candidate in Wisconsin, if you don't let us know your opinions on gun issues, we'll give you a question mark and that will make some people think you're against us. I'm sorry. I'm looking for the F rating. You got an F rating from the NRA? I'm voting for you. All right. If the NRA is terrified of you being in office, that's a win. So NRA, keep ranking them. Keep ranking these people. Tell us who gets the F's because that's who I'm voting for. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Reminder, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to someone who calls in today for the Blue State Ball. General admission tickets, March 10th. So 952-946-6205. We'll randomly pick someone who will win. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee, and I have a show on AM 950 Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 o'clock. It's a free-form hour of news, interviews, and your phone calls. We don't do 10-second sound bites and yelling and screaming about issues. That may make for great entertainment, but it really doesn't help to solve the real problems we face. We try to get the whole story and have an intelligent discussion. We also occasionally have a little fun. Listen in from 4 to 5 o'clock on AM 950 Radio.
Hello, Richard from Auto Technical. Imagine life without a car. Just getting to daycare, then to work on the bus. Do you have a car or truck to donate? We have families waiting for a reconditioned vehicle from Auto Technical. Your gift will change their lives. Remember, we recondition the vehicle so you'll receive a much higher tax deduction. 612-919-5526. AutoTechnical.org.
Get ready for the 2018 Blue State Ball. Hi there, Matt McNeil encouraging you to join us for a great annual tradition for Democrats and like-minded left-leaning individuals. The Blue State Ball is set for Saturday, March 10th at the same great location we were at last year, the Blaisdell Mansion in Minneapolis. Coming back to the Twin Cities are two of the station's favorites, Tom Hartman and Norman Goldman. We'll begin the evening with a VIP event starting at 5:30 with hors d'oeuvres and drinks, and at 7 p.m. the general admission begins. With it being an election year, we are expecting a ton of special political guests, and as always, Mike McEntee, many of the great weekend hosts, and myself will be there too. Hang out with great Democrats, check out the sponsor table, and enjoy the rousing speeches taking us into the evening. VIP tickets are $100 each and are limited. General admission tickets are $35 each. Go to am950radio.com for ticket information. That's am950radio.com. Saturday, March 10th at the Blaisdell, 2322 Blaisdell Avenue in Minneapolis. It's the 2018 Blue State Ball. We'll see you there.
With your AM950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, snow's likely, mainly after 5 p.m. Cloudy with a high near 27. Tonight, snow with 3 to 5 inches possible and a low around 24. Friday, a 30% chance of snow before 7 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 30. AM950 Radio is brought to you by Moe's Tax Service. Working for you, not the IRS, since 1971. Located in Highland Park in St. Paul, returns are electronically filed the same day and your refunds are fast and secure. Call 612-721-2026 or visit mohstax.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe is the restaurant of the week. Their all-day brunch, I believe that still is going on over there. Fantastic. Tons of options. If you've gluten-free, vegan, they got options on the menu for you. Stop on in. You'll love it there. Co-op Creamery's house-made vanilla soft serve and rotating flavors of fruit sorbets are always available. Yumbo. Competing to sustain a healthy community, the Co-op Creamery Cafe, Sunday through Tuesday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Wednesday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. on East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. It is the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Jan is in St. Paul, kind enough to hold. Welcome on in, Jan.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Just a couple of little thoughts that I've had. I have a boxer pit bull. In order to have insurance, I have to carry insurance on my boxer pit bull because it might bite somebody, but I don't have to carry insurance on the guns that might be kept in the house. Nobody's going to break into my house, steal my dog, take it to school, and have it bite people. I just find it ridiculous that it's harder to get adopt a pit bull than it is to buy a gun, basically. I had to go through so much screening and interviews. They came and checked my house, everything. It was just ridiculous.
Well, and did you perchance see Colbert last night? The comment he made in regards to the fact that the Florida politicians, they refused to bring up the gun bill for a debate, but instead focused on a porn is evil. And Colbert did this little the parody where he said, knocked on the door. It's like, what are you doing in there? You better be loading a gun. And I just was like, oh my God, it's like, he's right. They have no problem with that. They have no problem with that. But that's the case there. So, well, thanks, Jan. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Where's John? Is he there? All right. Let me go into the latest knuckleheadedry that is out there. The idea of arming teachers in regards to whether or not the arming teachers as if this is going to be the way to stop school shootings. The NRA is pushing this. They're putting this forward and arguing that this is the way that you're going to stop school shootings. Now, mind you, it's not going to stop shootings on the Las Vegas Strip. It won't stop shootings in nightclubs. It won't stop shootings in churches. It won't stop shootings in business places. But schools, we're going to do this for schools. We're going to make the teachers carry guns, or at least argue that they should carry guns. All right. If you're willing to overlook the reality that most people do not like guns, the vast majority of Americans do not like guns, do not want to have a gun, it's not something that they want to put forward and have. I fired weapons because I was in the military. They are a little bit awkward. They're a little bit you know hard to deal with. And I can understand why a lot of people do not want them, but you're saying that people are going to have to carry them. This is what you're going to do, is that teachers are going to have to carry them, and that this is how we're going to keep kids safe. Well, they don't want to, and they sure don't want to around little kids. You're going to have to come up with billions of dollars in money to give to teachers so they can purchase these guns. Because you can't make teachers own a gun and you can't make teachers buy a gun. You just can't. Those are two options. Those are nowhere in the Second Amendment. Forcing people to have a gun, forcing people to own them. Then you have to consult with all the parents, like myself, who, I know this sounds really, really weird, do not want to have guns waved in our children's faces 24/7, 365. We don't. I don't want that. This is the problem, is that my kids go to school because I don't want my kids to be around guns. And because the ease at which this guns are available, people are able to get guns and go into school and start shooting the place up. So as opposed to regulating the guns and limiting the way the guns can get into the school, you're basically saying, no, now your kid has to be around guns. I don't like that. Then you have to come up with the money for the gun training classes. And I'm not talking about some three-hour community service, community center. Here's where your pistol is, and this is the trigger. No, you're talking about if you are going to have people where part of their job is training on weapons, you are going to have to treat this like it's the military, like it's the police. This is 10 to 12 weeks of advanced training on guns. 10 to 12 weeks. Okay? And basically, that's the beginning. Then you have to have an initial 10 to 12 weeks for, you know, urban environment, high-stress shooting situations for this teacher. That basically, the teacher is going to have to figure out the how to take down someone in an urban environment where there could be people behind them, where there's going to be angles, there could be secret areas where they can't see who's where. That's going to be additional training. So not only do you have to have the 10 to 12 weeks of initial training, but then you have to send them to advanced training on top of that. Then, if you have a teacher, let's just be honest, it's useless for that gun, if this is the route you're going to go, it's useless for that gun to be in a teacher's desk, locked in there, under lock and key. For this to have any sense whatsoever, you have to have loaded weapons on people's hips, lock and loaded, round in the chamber, ready to fire, safety off at all times. Because what are we talking about? Someone kicks in the door and starts shooting up the room. Well, guess what? You don't have time to run back there. You have to pull the gun and start firing. Hope the guy doesn't have body armor on. Then you have to hope that the teacher's in a classroom where the assailant is attacking that classroom. And then basically you have to hope that the teacher is not one of the first ones shot. Then maybe most of the kids in that classroom will be safe. I want to be honest with you. Let's open it. Bang, door is kicked open. Now, you're not going to just start firing randomly if you're the teacher, because it could be just some overzealous kid or a janitor that accidentally hit the door. So you're going to see bang, and all of a sudden you hear pop, 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 pop. Every one of those pops is a bullet. All those bullets are hitting people. All those bullets are killing people. So you're not going to save it. The only way that you'd really be able to stop this before the shooting begin is if it's some sort of nefarious villain from a comic book. Let me tell you what my grand plan is before I begin. No, that's not how the real world works. Okay? It's not how the real world works. So... And then here's the other little problem that you have. Where's the liability here? So say that scenario happens. Teacher has a gun. We've done this because the teacher is going to save all the kids. Door blast open, three kids get shot, but the teacher does take that person out. Well, is the teacher then liable for the three dead kids? Or is that the gunman? Or is that, what are you supposed to do? Is the school district liable? Because my gut feeling is the argument would be the teacher would be responsible then, because they didn't react fast enough and shoot the guy at the door. And that would be how the school district and the Republicans and the NRA try to wash their hands of their imperfect system, is that, oh, well, the teacher was responsible because the teacher did not kill the shooter before they took out the kids. So darn teacher, you have to be better next time. And then how about the other elements of this? Would an armed teacher, so say that not everyone in a school has guns. Say your classroom has a teacher with a gun in it. On the opposite side of the school, a fire, you know, someone starts shooting up the cafeteria. Do you abandon the students in your classroom and leave them unprotected to go try to get there and stop this guy without getting shot yourself? Because it would seem to me the far safer path would be that teacher with the gun should stay in their room and defend those kids, and those kids would be safe because of the gun or at least have a better chance of it. I mean, the idea of the John McClane Nakatomi Plaza stuff, that's not going to happen. Oh, well, we'll just put a $100,000 bulletproof door and $100,000 per square foot bulletproof walls and $50,000 per window bulletproof glass on every window, Matt. That's, who's going to pay for all that? Who's going to pay for all that? And say let's have that case where all of a sudden it's, they have to run the length of a football field quickly and hope they don't get shot before they're going to be able to confront that shooter. Bang, 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 bang. Those are bullets going off. That person's not running to the crime because he's psychic and he knows the crime's going to happen. He's running there because the bullets are being fired. What value is this? I mean, unless the response time is 2 or 3 seconds, you don't really have a chance at stopping the shooting. Now, this is all, if you don't remember, when Charlie Hebdo, the magazine in Europe, got attacked by terrorists, the pro-gun group in Texas, the Truth About Guns, attempted to reenact the shooting to show that if Europe had more guns, they'd be safer. So knowing a terrorist strike was going to happen and having guns at their disposal was their whole goal. Right? That was their whole thing. Well, what ended up happening? What ended up happening? They tried to stop it, and they couldn't. They tried over and over and over and over again. They tried, and it failed. They all died. They tried to reenact it. They knew the terror strike was coming. They all died. The only guy that survived was the guy that the minute the shooting started headed for the first emergency door they saw and got out of the building. This is ludicrous. It's ludicrous beyond ludicrous to think about. And yeah, it's a dumb argument. Well, Randy in Coon Rapids is going to chime in. We'll tell you what. Let's take a break. 952-946-6205. Oh, you got Rand. Well, Randy usually takes forever. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break right now. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup, and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Now on display at the Museum of Russian Art is an exhibition of beautiful icons and sacred art from the 19th century called Russian Sacred Art, Connecting Heaven and Earth. Liturgical music from the best Russian choirs gently accompanies your experience of these pillars of spiritual life. Open daily and with free parking, Timora is the easiest museum to get to in Minneapolis, so plan your visit today at tmora.org. That is tmora.org.
Hi, Matt McNeil, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. It's SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota. The Highlander is an amazing vehicle. Features an available direct-injected 3.5-liter V6 engine, a bold look, space for up to 8.5 USB ports, and tons of cargo space. Rudy Luther Toyota currently has 140 2018 Highlanders in stock with financing as low as 0.9% for 60 months, plus the great Rudy Luther service I love. Stop by for SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, president of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. Our team from Minnesota Hospice will be continuing our series titled Lifting the Veil, Revealing the Spiritual Truths About Dying and Death, where we share insights on the spiritual aspects of this profound experience. Please join us Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice show and learn more about us online at minnesotahospice.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. John from Ham Lake wins the tickets today, the general admission tickets for the Blue State Ball. Congratulations, John. Enjoy those tickets. We will give away tickets. Mike McIntyre has a pair of tickets to give away later on today. I will have another pair of tickets to give away on air tomorrow right here on AM 950. Randy is in Coon Rapids and wants to chime in on this. I'm sure it will be, yeah. Welcome on in, Randy.
Welcome, Matt. I'm glad that you chose the word ludicrous, because that word I would agree with you. To me, I think it's ludicrous that churches and schools have signs on their doors that say gun-free zone. Yeah. Now, you talked about the teachers and all that and not getting to the shooter and stuff. What I'm thinking is a little more of a twist on that. There should be armed security guards at every school, and what that will do by having armed security guards and to me, I don't think you should force a teacher to carry
Randy,
a gun.
Randy, I want you to shut up. Pot him down. Pot him down. I want him to shut up for a second. Randy, what about the rights of people to not have a gun rammed in our faces? What about that right? Bring him on back. Randy, what about that right? What about the right of my child, my 4-year-old child or 5-year-old child, that everywhere we go, it's got to be a freaking episode of The Walking Dead, where a guy's got to have a gun out, safety off, trigger, finger on the trigger, pointing around, panicked all the time? What kind of sick, twisted world do you want to live in, Randy?
I want to live in a world where my kids are safe, and that's a good point.
Then you need to ban the guns. Then you need to ban the guns.
Okay, Matt, now let me ask you this question then. Let me ask you to have this conversation with you. Let's do that. Let's ban the AR-15s.
Yes.
What are you going to say next when the guy shows up with a shotgun with a buckshot and he starts taking out and spraying everybody? Should we then ban the shotgun?
If we are having shotgun slaughters, as we are having with AR-15 slaughters, yes, then we need to start talking about restricting the shotguns. I mean, is that really that hard for you to understand? I mean, it's, you know, axes, pipes, knives, nothing kills like this. This is the only country on the planet this happens, and this is the only country where people like yourself come up with this insane concept that kindergartners have to walk past a guy with an Uzi aimed at everyone's head in case someone wants to attack that school. And Randy, let's talk, let's just do brass tacks here. Let's do some math for us, okay? You're Mr. Tax and Spend Liberal. I'm the big tax and spend liberal. Let's take a look at your jobs program that you just put into place. How much are you gonna pay each one of these one bodyguards you're gonna have at every school in America? How much?
I'd be willing to pay them $60,000 to $80,000 a year, and I'll take all that money from all your light rail train that you're so willing to dump on your boat.
Randy, you want to say light rail is going to save you that much money? All right, $60,000. This is for every school, okay? Now, my kid's school district has six elementary schools, 2 junior highs, and a high school. So that is what, 9 schools, plus the Isla school, plus the Chinese immersion school. So that gets us to 11 schools. And this is, now once again, this is just my kid's school district. 11 times 60 equals, 11 times 66 equals, okay, so that's $726,000 just for Hopkins. You've started to chew up a good chunk of the light rail budget. How many school districts are in the state? Isn't it like 400 or 300 school districts in the state? So just in Minnesota, we'll times it by 300. And this doesn't include, by the way, this doesn't even include the private schools here in Minnesota. So, by the way, and reminder, a school like Wayzata or Woodbury, those are big schools. You're going to need 2 or 3 security guards in each one of those, or else it's pointless. So if we just do 1 security guard in every school, this is just the public schools, mind you, $217,800,000. Now, I don't know what the private school is there. We don't have to know that, but we can just times it by 50, which is not going to be there. I got an E in this number because it's saying it's so large. There's not enough money on the planet to pull that off, Randy.
Hey, Matt, get ready for this. I don't care, as a conservative, I don't care what the cost is. It doesn't matter. I would protect them. I wanted to.
And by the way, Randy, I want to stop you. Randy, we're just talking schools. Randy, we're just talking schools now, right? We're into billions of dollars. No, we're into billions of dollars of taxpayers' money just for school security guards, for public school security guards, not charter schools, not private schools. You still have churches. You still have rock concerts. You still have businesses. You still have nightclubs, all of which need to have their guns. Or you could, how about just an effective background check situation where if you committed a crime, especially you committed a crime with a gun, you can't have a gun. We have a mental database. We have a mental database about people with mental issues that prevents them from buying guns. We prevent the terrorists from getting guns. Ooh, how about stuff like this? How about insurance for the guns, Randy? If you own a gun, that you have to carry insurance on the gun like you have to carry it on the car. How about that little detail?
Well, there are a lot of options, Matt. I wanted to get out this one thing because you're wanting to ban the AR-15. You know what that sounds like? There's a place in the city, in a city I see almost every day, about 40 little, probably 5-6-year-old kids that walk down to the library every day. Now, if I'm in my Ford 1F-150 and I go run those kids down and kill them, should we ban all Ford F-150s?
No, but we should throw you in jail for the rest of your life, and you should never do it because you killed a bunch of kids. If we have 10 of those Ford 150s start running down kids in the first 2 months of a year, then what we need to do is ban Ford F-150s. Do you understand what the difference is?
You're saying?
Yes, I did.
Randy,
what you are just trying to do is you're trying to make this a one-for-one situation. You don't want to talk about Vegas. You don't want to talk about Columbine. You don't want to talk about Aurora, Colorado. You don't want to talk about the Texas church shooting. You don't want to talk about the Orlando nightclub. You don't want to act those because that is a pattern of behavior. No, shut up now for a second, Randy. You don't want to talk about those things. You don't. What you want to talk about is create one scenario. And what I said is this: if in the first month and a half of this year, if we all of a sudden had 10 people run over 20 kids with an F-150, every Republican in the state of, in this country would be running to say we have to ban F-150s. All right, you do understand that, right? You do understand that. Everyone would. But the reality is, with guns, no one says we would do that. We regulate NyQuil and cough medicine like you wouldn't believe. We regulate pit bulls. We regulate all sorts of things, air rifles. But for God forbid, we actually regulate the weapons that are being used to slaughter our children. And you sit there and act like you're clever because you try to put out this, F-150s. Yeah, and if an F-150s, you're going to jail. And if 50 F-150s start ramming into kids everywhere, we would have no – Ford themselves would take the F-150 off the market. Instead, the gunman –
using Chevy Silverado.
And if they did that, they would pull the Chevy. Randy. No, the point is something simple, and it's this. If that happened with any other industry, the industry themselves would regulate it. With guns, they're making more AR-15s because they're using the death of these kids to sell more of them to feeble-minded idiots like you, Randy. Stop it. Grow up. Be a man. We're back tomorrow. Tickets with McAtee up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.